This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you could pick one player to add to the Bills right now, who would
you pick? Prime Allen Iverson. Nah, Myles Garrett.
Shout out AI.
Myles Garrett, what happened?
Myles Garrett, right now. Come rock with us. It's been a Super Bowl.
Deion Dawkins, man. He's good at this.
Yes, sir.
I do have some fun with this.
The Snowman. Yeah, absolutely. Deion Dawkins is a big proponent for the Myles Garrett trade acquisition. We were talking about it in the last segment, Derek and I. Just what that could mean for the Bills. I said, you know, the Bills are a Myles Garrett away or a superstar away from really being able to take that step towards the Super Bowl. I mean, they made it to the AFC Championship in a retool season, as we've said. And, you know, Von Miller did not go the way that you thought it was going to go. Did not go the way that you wanted it to go, unfortunately. I mean, he has shown flashes of, you know, what he's been able to do when healthy. But that ACL injury, the recovery for a year, just was not great. Did not allow for him really to be the Von Miller that they went and acquired. The Super Bowl MVP, the game wrecker, the closer that he could be. Where I think a 29-year-old Myles Garrett could be that for you, could be the difference maker. You know, you get a double team on him from offensive lines. Who does that allow to really explode? Ed Oliver, right? If you have to give up Greg Russo, like what I think, it can't be too rich for Myles Garrett. And that's where even a Max Crosby, anybody you would want to acquire, nothing can be too rich. And I just don't know, looking at it, what to do. Because you're looking at it, and you'd probably have to give up Greg Russo and a first-round pick for Myles Garrett. You'd probably have to go through that. And I know Greg Russo, I feel like I would be willing to do that, but a lot of Buffalo fans, I feel like, would not. So for the whole Myles Garrett conversation, I guess, what would you be willing to give up to bring that star defensive player to the defense? Evan, do you have anybody in mind? Are you on the Myles Garrett train? Max Crosby, would you be willing to give up Greg Russo in a first-round pick, you think, for Myles Garrett? Would that be okay? Because that's kind of, you're going to have to make it worth their while because they're going to be taking most of his dead cap, you know? And they're already, with the Deshaun Watson contract, right, in a nightmare. So you kind of have to sweeten the pot for them.
I think Greg Russo has become I won't say a bust at all, but like I'll say that I think
we're talking about the what would you give up for Myles Garrett? Greg Russo in a first has been thrown around, and
I would be okay with giving up Greg Russo. I mean, he's also on a contract year, mm-hmm, and I mean,
but
I don't.
At the same time,
go ahead.
I think the cost has to be there to go and get a prime player like that.
Well, it does. And I said, too, Cleveland's in a with that Deshaun Watson contract, they're not going to let Myles Garrett go for nothing. So,
but Cleveland does have something interesting in their pocket, which is that contract is so bad for Deshaun Watson that they're going to eat whatever cap hit they can with Myles Garrett and the dead cap, because you're already rebuilding anyway.
Right.
This is a good year to eat that dead cap for Garrett and try to get more for the return.
Mm-hmm.
That helps the Bills in their cap situation, but it means they'll have to pay more.
Right.
So Cleveland can weaponize the Deshaun Watson contract being an albatross in order to go ahead and get more for Garrett in return.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. It's interesting to me because I feel like Greg Russo is a name that has been thrown out there, right? Expendable, if you will. But I feel like a lot of Bills fans are not liking that, just from general consensus, you know? Anyone else, you think, would be able to, like, you'd be, I mean, Kyrie Elam's going to play in Shanghai, as far as I'm concerned, so he won't be.
They do need to upgrade corner. They need to I think they need to upgrade safety, more importantly.
Do they draft a late-round corner, though, like Christian Benford? Do they go that route with upgrading the cornerback position?
Yeah.
Go young, fast, athletic? Like, is that kind of where they go, or is it you're going to go in free agency?
If they're playing more man coverage, I would try to get a guy who is more athletic, a player that can do a little bit more man, because Bobby Babich did prove this past year they're willing to play more man coverage,
mm-hmm.
even with corners that aren't particularly, like, that's not their strong suit.
Right, right.
And I do think that that is going to be an interesting dynamic shift if that's what Babich wants to do, is play a little bit more man, get a little bit more exotic with options with blitzing.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that would be getting a good pass rusher, too, would help in that situation, because then you can create havoc and allow for your defenders running man-man
mm-hmm.
to focus on their assignment.
Right.
So I think there's a lot to it.
But it's definitely gonna, this is a scraping the surface conversation.
Yeah, price is going to be always something that's going to be interesting, no matter who gets him.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that I'm going to be genuinely intrigued about throughout the offseason.
Is it fair to say I prefer Max Crosby because I think there's more, like, there's more there? I think he
I think
there's
of
more
Garrett
of a,
based on the numbers.
I think there's more of a prime for Max Crosby.
I wouldn't necessarily worry about that.
Mainly because of his age. Compared the
age,
Crosby's
that's
27.
That's my part that's not a concern.
Okay.
My concern is fitting it under the cap.
Right.
And Crosby has a higher cap hit than Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett is actually easier to acquire on your books than Crosby is. Garrett also is just fantastic. He does put up the numbers year in, year out, and so does Crosby. That's why they have those contracts. I know, though, that it's going to be an easier get
mm-hmm.
for Myles Garrett on your cap hit.
100%.
Maybe not on trade price or acquisition, but fitting it under the books with a team that already still has cap issues that need to be massaged and worked out, Garrett's an easier number to go in on.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550 is the number to call. As we get connected with our fans, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Bill. Bill, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, guys. I don't want Myles Garrett, and my reason is this. There was an incident with the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, Mason Rudolph, a few mm-hmm. years ago where he swung his helmet at his head. Right alone, right there, I kind of don't want him for that reason. But what's even worse, and the reason I really don't want him, was the aftermath and what he did after the whole thing played out in the field, where he basically called Mason Rudolph out by saying that Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur, and that's why he did what he did to try to get a lesser suspension, while Mason Rudolph had to go to the podium and defend himself. It never happened. It was proven to never happen by players on the field. But he went with it anyways, the lesser suspension. That is as low a character as you can go, as far as I'm concerned, making a guy out to be a racist when he's not, and he had to go defend himself after the fact. I don't want that guy on my team.
All right. Thanks, Bill. The NFL is full of players with character flaws. As a matter of fact, the Buffalo Bills employed one with Myles Garrett, or with
with Von Miller.
With Von Miller. I hate to have to admit that. I really do. I hate that I have to admit that.
But it's true.
But it's true. What he did was absolutely dumb.
Yeah, and inexcusable. Don't get me wrong.
And to bring up the incident, that is fair to point out. It is bad. It's dumb. It's not a good thing. It's never been a good look for him. And that is going to follow him for the rest of his career. But unfortunately, we also have a league where there are players with character concerns sprinkled within it. That is what it is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. You have to admit that. No team is perfect with that. Even the Buffalo Bills. And if he has shown contrition about that, then I'm going to go ahead and see what that would mean. That's all I have to say on that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not worried about the off the field, whatever, you know.
Technically, that happened on the field. That wasn't off the field at all. It was very much on it.
Yes, and I think that's just...
It is something that will follow him,
mm-hmm.
as it should.
Right.
That's the other part. It should follow him. Because that's something that was, it was dumb. Mm-hmm. It was not a good thing. His emotions ran too high, and it was dumb. It was something inexcusable.
Yep.
He also served his suspension for that. He was suspended indefinitely. And things are said, it could have been misheard.
And it's the heat of the moment thing. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to...
I'm not trying to defend it.
Defend.
I'm also going to go ahead and say, it also should not be the end-all, be-all. But if you feel that way, you feel that way. You know? But just acknowledge the tough reality that is the NFL is sprinkled with players that have done far worse. Just make sure you acknowledge that if you're going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to say that with Myles Garrett, you've got to stay consistent across the entire league.
Yep.
And that includes something a Bills player was suspended for. It includes players across the National Football League that have done a lot worse than what Myles Garrett has.
Right, I'm not trying to justify.
I'm not trying to justify.
Agreed.
What I am saying is, stay consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the energy.
Right.
If you're going to say that about one person, you have to admit that there's a problem across the league and even within society itself.
Yes.
Okay?
You can't just be like, no.
Yes. And again, that's your opinion. I'll let you keep that. Just make sure that you remember that the NFL has this problem all throughout. The world has this problem all throughout. Like Josh Allen said, be good, do good.
God bless and go Bills.
So, just make sure you acknowledge it. That's all I got to say.
Yep.
If you don't want him for that, you don't want him for that. You're allowed to have that opinion. Just make sure you remember. This world is not consistent with values and people not doing good. Like, people across this entire league, across this entire world, there are people that just don't do good things. And it's a tough thing to talk about, and that'll happen. Okay. That said, it is what it is. It is an incident that should follow him. And that is absolutely right. That said, he served his suspension. That part of it is behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than that, Myles Garrett does not ever seem to have a problem within locker rooms.
No.
This is not a guy who's a repeat offender. And again, the incident should follow him. It is a mark on a great career. I don't think that's going to stop me, though, from wanting a player of that caliber, or even him in particular.
Agreed.
Because he served his suspension and he had to be punished for it. So to me, it's moved on. And it's not because I'm going to try to dip my morality here. It is because I have to acknowledge that we are in the real world.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate realization, but it's true.
And NFL GMs certainly care less than you and I about incidents like that. I'll tell you that right to your face. That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. It's a business, unfortunately.
It is a business. And that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly how it gets treated by NFL GMs. There are unpopular moves that are made for players plenty of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And for incidents, like I said, that are worse. It's okay. Let me retract that.
It's not okay. But
it's reality.
Mm-hmm.
It is reality. So just make sure you're staying consistent on that. Bill, I appreciate the call. All right, we're going to get an early break in. Why? Because at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to Todd Callen. Because there's going to be Niagara basketball.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give him a little bit of a pregame. But we're going to give ourselves an early break here so we can get the next segment in and close up Sports Talk Saturday as its day is coming to an end here.
Yes, sir.
On WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's something that has to come from within, that when you become a great team, it comes out of you. It comes out of players that, if you look at early in the year when Zucker, who is not a fighter, dropped his gloves and went at somebody, it comes out of you. It is about the group coming together. It has to come out of you. Some of those guys that play the role sometimes is only a role because they're carried along because of their teammates.
That was Lindy Ruff on the morning show this week, and he had a lot of great things to say. If you need to catch up on that, it's on demand at our website at WGR550.com. I loved what Lindy Ruff had to say this week with Jeremy and Joe.
Oh, yeah.
He was...
Absolutely. I did tune into that segment.
Yeah.
It was very insightful.
And there was a lot that he had to answer for, though, especially because considering that a week ago, the whole mess with the Devils and everything like that. And... I will say, like, that's a damning thing for a team that has a long history with a playoff drought, that is last place in the Eastern Conference. You can't have that sort of thing. That said, am I all that shocked that they didn't do something after they gave up a shorthanded goal, like, seconds after? No. You were ready, like, you were in danger of blowing a lead again. Mm-hmm. Something that is infamous for this team.
Right. Never fails.
And they wanted to focus on that. And I don't really blame them for that. What happened on the ice, that is really, it's really harsh for the four players that were on it that weren't Tage. And that's where I think it really should all end up at, is that. That's it. The four players on the ice. Because something that not a lot of people remember from that game is that Jack Quinn went after Nosen after Zucker got buried into the net after he scored. Jack Quinn took exception. So it's not a whole team thing. It is definitely a players that were on the ice thing, though. Dennis Gilbert fights immediately against Columbus, and it kind of looks like a laughable farce. But at the same time, I think that locker room wanted to put it to bed.
Right. I think it's done.
Yes, and it is done. They did want to put it to bed. Lindy Ruff said some great things about it. And I think that that is the end of it. And now, from Captain Rasmus Dahlin, this can't happen again. Well, you better make sure it doesn't. But go ahead and tell me that if Rasmus Dahlin was on the ice, that would have been the response.
No, it would have been an absolute bloodbath out there.
Mm-hmm. Dahlin gets nasty with people. He really does.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, if it wasn't Tage that got hit and it was someone else that was high caliber on the team, Tage probably chucks him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a history of doing it.
Well, he has a history of doing it, and I mean, so, unfortunately, he's a golden retriever who thinks he's a German shepherd.
But that said, yeah, I would like to think that they put this behind them, hopefully, now. It is a bad look overall. But they're also, oddly enough, one of the hottest teams in the Eastern Conference right now. They have the second longest win streak in the East. Still hasn't gotten them out of last place. That's what 13 losing in a row is going to do to you. They're still not out of last place in their conference. And it's a shame. Because now they're kind of looking like the team that they should have been. And if that losing streak doesn't happen, they're probably in the mix with everyone else. Boston has finally taken its decline.
Yeah, finally.
I text Brian Koziel about that. And... I should probably do it again. Be like, hey, you know, Boston's out of a playoff spot. We got half of it right. Every year we come in hoping, hey, Boston's going to finally fall off and this will be the Sabres' time to take advantage, right? No, right now, if the playoffs ended today, it would be fellow rebuilders Ottawa and Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And that stings.
Yeah, not great.
That would sting a lot. Columbus is there at 60. Boston's there at 60. And the Sabres are at 49. That hurts.
Very
much
so.
That is the damage that 13 losses in a row does to you.
Yeah, the 13-game win streak is going to haunt them the rest of the season. Or losing streak. Jeez, I wish it was a win streak. 13-game losing streak will haunt them for the rest of the season.
13-game losing streak will probably be the only way they get back into it. You have to match it shot for shot. The Sabres have won four in a row. They play Nashville tonight with a chance to, A, sweep the Preds, but then, B, go into this break for the Four Nations Tournament five in a row. Why am I talking about the Sabres right now? I think it has to do with this. Hope is evil. Hope is so mean.
Yeah.
Why? Because if the Sabres go ahead and win five in a row, here I am thinking, this could embolden a general manager to actually make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
This should embolden the general manager to try to put a long-term prospect style trade together of you dish for a player and make a hockey trade, so to say.
Right.
Try to do something to improve your roster. And I'm seeing players like Noah Dobson reportedly on the trading block in the Islanders. That's a really good defensive piece. You could solidify your top four and never have to worry about it unless there's an injury. And it's hockey, so you're going to have to deal with that. But, you know, you're not dealing with Henry Jokiharju, top four defenseman, on your roster anymore. You can then safely rotate four guys with heavy minutes. Noah Dobson is absolutely that kind of player. They are asking for a top six scoring winger. Say maybe kick the trees about Dylan Cousins. Because there is reportedly a lot of interest on him, according to Kevin Weeks.
Yeah, and if it were me, I'd be selling him. I'm going to be honest with you.
But the thing is that Dylan Cousins is not a selling piece. It is a hockey trade sort of conversation. You're trying to tell a GM, you can revive this guy. He does all the right things. And it's just not all coming together at this point. Maybe you got to put him on the wing. But he still is young. He's talented. And he's locked up. If you can live up to that contract, you got yourself a deal. Because 2 years ago, that was a really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was trending the right way. I'm selling another general manager on that with Dylan Cousins. Elias Pettersson. We don't know if he is truly secure in Vancouver, even after the JT Miller trade. He doesn't have trade protection. The Sabres could go ahead and get a player like that and not have to worry about taxes and palm trees. He'd also be coming from Vancouver. Infamously known for their palm trees, right?
Right.
So.
Big on palm trees around
here. That's what I'm saying. Hope. It's dangerous. It's stupid. And I should never have it. But if the Sabres win their fifth in a row, heading into a break, breaks tend to lead to trade discussions. Players had been moved around before the Four Nations Tournament,
mm-hmm.
which means now the NHL trade deadline gets far more fascinating because there are two deadlines to make deals with instead of just one. That is where my hope comes in.
Yep.
That if they do win their fifth in a row, it emboldens a general manager to say, okay, there are some good pieces in place. Let's see if we could put it all together.
I think, listen, if he actually goes and does something, the attitude completely changes.
Yeah, I will shut the heck up about everything I've complained about
mm-hmm.
him. Not everything. But I will at least shut up. For now. That's where it is for me, is you have an opportunity to strengthen your roster right now.
And right.
There are multiple deadlines that teams are looking at right now, and deadlines are when action happens. I've seen a third of the league make trades before the Four Nations Tournament.
Right.
And the Sabres are leaving me standing out in the rain watching it all happen. That's not to say that something can't happen. That also means that 20 other teams didn't make a move either. But I see a player like Martin Natchez get traded. Players of caliber like JT Miller getting moved.
Mm-hmm.
That means players are moving. How else do you generate excitement for a season that is already lost?
You got to do something.
Make a move. And what better way to try to improve your roster than to be sold on the idea of it winning five games in a row heading into a break?
It would be the perfect prime time to do it. There's no question about it.
And sometimes a general manager's job is about timing. That's why two off seasons ago I was very mad at the front office because they did not make a move to add to a team that was 1 point out.
No, they did not.
That was the time to add. It really was.
Right, and we've talked about that ad nauseum. It's like, okay, that was year two. You had the chance to put your team in a position for a playoff spot immediately.
Yep.
Year three could have been a playoff run for you as a GM who had no experience coming into your position, right? Like, this, that could have been huge. But instead, we sat on our hands, and we're here in year five, still toiling away. And this is the worst showing yet. 13-game losing streak and very far out.
Yes.
So an addition would change the tide, in my opinion. Not change how the season's going to go, don't get me wrong. Hope would be instilled once again.
But hope would be instilled in a different incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I'm not looking at this season for hope. I am trying to look for a reason for people to be not even necessarily excited, but just entertain the thought of a next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're at with the Sabres. You have to entertain the thought about a next year. And that's a big problem.
Yeah.
You are dealing with a fan base that has apathy. You need reasons to give them hope. And the hope has to come in a different way because this season is not it. You are still in last place. You need to be better. And if you're not better, what can you do to give people hope to come back? Make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Shuffle something up. And try to improve your roster at the same time. Because that was something that Kevin Adams, he showed a little bit of like, sounds like his preference when he was on with Chopin Bulldog. He likes to make a hockey trade.
Yep.
He doesn't see the Sabres as sellers this year. He sees them as an opportunity to improve the roster. I'm going to try to take a stab at it. Well, winning five in a row might embolden you to do so. I can't be in Kevin Adams' head. Obviously won't tell him what to do. But if I was in that position and I saw my team win five in a row heading into a break, I would feel like I have a little bit more fortitude to pay a bit to make something happen.
He's got an opportunity.
There is an opportunity. And again, you would go into the break as one of the hottest teams in the East, weirdly enough. Detroit's the only team that has won more than you in a row, and that's at 7. They're losing to Tampa right now, 3-1. You could have the longest winning streak in the Eastern Conference at the end of the night if you win. Think about that.
It's exciting.
It's weird.
It's a weird level of excitement for a season that's not there.
Because hope needs to be shown in a different incarnation. You cannot look at this year like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to look for the next. You need to look for the next sign of hope. You need to look for the next sign that Sabres should be willing to come back. Sabres fans should be willing to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous what this team's losing has done. There are fans, generations of fans, that do not know this team succeeding. There are also generations of fan or of potential fans that the shoulder's not even tapped because they have been bad or they have been out of the playoffs for so long.
Yeah.
And we've seen what the city does when this team is good. But you've heard a lot of rumblings about Dylan Cousins. Kevin Weeks putting out the picture of the of Chippewa Street with the eye emoji.
Yeah, come on. Like and then nothing.
And then a day later is going, yeah, they're garnering interest from several teams, including the Leafs, the Flames, a couple others, Red Wings. And I'm like, bro, come on.
He knew what he was doing.
That's a kick in the shin right there.
He knew what he was doing.
I respect the game with him because when he does that sort of thing, that means there's something interesting. But he unfortunately said something or reported something that most people kind of already speculated anyway. So it wasn't something that was happening. It was something that was possibly on the move. And it's like, oh, come on, man. That's all you got for me?
Yeah.
But okay, we'll see what happens. And again, winning a game against the Nashville Predators when you're in last place in the Eastern Conference, and I'm talking about hope, it has more to do with next year than it does anything about this one. Because this is a game between two teams amongst the bottom five in the National Hockey League. Oh, well. But for the Sabres, it could mean a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Detroit loses, for example, oh, it's 4-1 now. In the first period, Detroit, not good.
No.
And Tampa doesn't have a propensity to choke away leads like Buffalo does.
No, they do not.
But with a year of everyone being so streaky, I'm not saying that the Sabres stay hot and threaten their way back into a postseason chance. I will say, if you're in mid-March and somehow like 6 points out, people are all the way back in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You just have to get close.
Because we're sick and we're degenerates.
Yeah. You just have to get close.
You have to get close. Sniff it.
Embrace the crunch of the stale donut. Sniff it. What? Yikes.
Yikes? What do you mean yikes?
Sniff what?
The playoff berth.
Okay.
What do you think I meant?
I don't know.
My stinky shoes?
I'll leave that up to interpretation like the Bills let the referees.
No, we do not leave that up to interpretation at all. I'm going to say it. It's about the playoff spot. But again, that's because we're degenerates. We cling on to anything that shows promise.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills in the AFC Championship game again. They're facing the Chiefs. The nihilist in you would think, okay, whatever, they're going to lose again. No, what did we have that weekend for two shows in a row? Hope, emotion, a little bit of anxiety, but not a whole heck of a lot of pessimism. Everyone that was calling in was hopeful,
yeah,
energetic, happy.
Right.
Even with the Buffalo Sabres, it may be tucked away in some people's hearts so deep that you cannot see it. But a win on February 8th of 2025
could reinstill.
Between two bottom five teams.
Yeah.
Could create hope in the strangest form possible. That's what I think that game means to me tonight. That's why I'm going to be paying attention. Because if they win their fifth in a row, I got to start asking questions about the Buffalo Sabres again.
Right.
And not just, oh, who are they getting in the draft?
But
actual questions about acquisitions.
Trades, everything, yeah. It gets interesting.
And again, because somehow the Buffalo Sabres would have the second longest win streak in the National Hockey League if the game holds the way that it is 4-1 Tampa against Detroit. The only teams hotter than Buffalo right now are Winnipeg at 8 in a row, they don't play tonight, and Detroit at 7 in a row, they're getting whopped.
Right.
So, we've got Niagara basketball coming up at 2:00.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to talk with Todd Kalin to close out the show here today. And we will do so coming up next, right here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evan DePasquale on the board. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back. Last segment here of Sports Talk Saturday. But it's going to be as seamless of a transition as we can make it, because Niagara basketball starts at 2:00, and I figured anytime that we have an opportunity to talk to Todd Kalin, I'm going to take it. And that includes right now, as he's on the Western Hotline with a de facto Niagara basketball preview show. Todd, first of all, welcome. I'm sorry we're not talking about a Bills Super Bowl, because that would be wild and chaotic. But here we are, and Niagara taking on Quinnipiac this afternoon.
That's right. Thank you. Good to be on with you guys once again. And, yeah, absolutely. We wish we were setting the table for a Bills game tomorrow, but not the case. But the Purple Eagles on the road taking on first place Quinnipiac today. You're right. We'll have the tip right at 2:00. And, again, it's a Niagara team that has been in so many games this season. But with 14 new players, it's not an excuse. It's just a reality. They have been knocking on the door so many times in close ball games, but they enter play today 3-8 and they take on the first place Bobcats of Quinnipiac on their home floor, where they're 22-4 the last 2 years. Quinnipiac in first place at 10-2.
This will be the end of three games straight on the road for Niagara, but they got themselves a much-needed win against Canisius a couple games back. That stopped a five-game slide for the Purple Eagles before they then also lost to Merrimack in their last action.
Yeah, the Canisius game was another nail-biter, and you know what they say with the old rivalries, and they'll meet next Wednesday night back at the Gallagher Center. It'll be the 195th meeting all time. But when old rivalries get together, they say throughout the records, Niagara and Canisius gladly would have done that. Leading into that game last week, but it was a last-second layup attempt by the Griffs. Paul McMillan, leading scorer in the conference. It rimmed out at the buzzer, and Niagara hung on and won one of those one-possession games. So that was electric. They played great against now 10-2 Merrimack on Thursday night. Had a shot to tie it in the final 4 or 5 seconds. Missed a three. Too late free throws were the difference of a five-point game. But Niagara led that 40-minute game. They led it for 32 of the 40 minutes. So they are right there.
Todd, of course, when it comes down to it, you do mention the fact that this roster has a lot of new players, but have they been able to gel as of late, getting more time together as the season has been passing?
I would say they are. The results aren't in the win-loss column like you would like, but it is evolving. And you, Coach Paulus has said we're going to be better literally in August than we were in July with the team getting together for summer workouts. And you hope that December's better than November and January, et cetera. And now we're in the month of February. And if you want to be playing meaningful games in March, you need to set the foundation in February. So there are plenty of bright spots. Coach had his thumb and index finger as close as you can get them to me on the bus ride after the defeat Thursday night. And he said, Todd, we're that close. So they truly are that close. You contrast our 14 new players with Quinnipiac team that we'll take on today has six players returning that played over 200 minutes a season ago. They were picked to be number one. They've got the top two rebounders in the league. They have the third best scorer in the league, and they're unbelievable here in this building. But you know what? We showed up, we got our sneakers on, and we're gonna do all we can to take them down.
As a matter of fact, I looked at the last six losses that Niagara has incurred, though. Four of them are within two possessions, so they are absolutely hanging around in games and keeping themselves in a scrappy bit. And like you said, that Canisius game, it was another one of those nail-biters, but it was also one that they would end up taking home. It has to be something, though, for a team with all these new players that they are in a lot of these matchups as of late.
Yeah, you hope that they see the silver lining. When you are talking about Division I basketball players, they were all the alpha on their high school team, right? And they have been coming up through the years, and many of them only know winning. So there's a little bit of we're walking to the bus with the head down again because they just can't seem to get over the hump. But yesterday, a very spirited workout. That was good to see. We got here inside the M&T Bank Arena yesterday for about an hour's worth of a workout. And the fellows were on the bus early today, ready to go. So you hope that it pays dividends where they can start to smash the door down a few times instead of just getting up to it and not being able to walk in.
Todd, when it comes to the numbers with this team and statistically, it does look like there's possibly a new leading scorer in terms of average on a weekly basis here when you have four players all within 0.4 points per game of each other.
Yeah, it's incredible. Great balance for Coach Paulus, and that is a coach's dream, right? You want to make it a little bit tougher for the opposing team where you don't just have to shut down one guy. Niagara's game last time out, they had to stop Bud Clark. He is the leading scorer in the league. He had 32. And Niagara, they stopped everybody else, but Bud Clark took over. But for the Purple Eagles, it's a different story. It is a deep cast, and you're right, one of four, five, even six guys could lead the team in scoring. With that balance, however, though, and with that depth, the Purple Eagles are top 50 in the country in bench scoring and number one in the MAC. It's just about 29 points per game coming off the bench. So when it gets to the depth of a roster and maybe a team gets in foul trouble, the edge swings to Niagara because they can go so deep. And as I look at it now, they're 31st in the nation with 29 points off their bench per game.
It's got to be impressive, especially with a group that, like you said, they're all new to each other, but at the same time, as you're hoping that this keeps going forward here. What are you looking at the long-term prospects of this team going forward? You have all these new players coming in together, the transfer portal being such a unique thing, dealing with year in and year out, Todd. When it comes down to it, who are going to be the guys that you're looking at with Niagara having the future for the next couple of years.
Yeah, you know what? The landscape is crazy with everybody entering the transfer portal. When the ball goes through in your final game the previous year, kids are jumping in the transfer portal. Our halftime guest today, Zion Russell, tells an interesting story about how he became a Purple Eagle. But you hope that they like the coaching that they're getting. They're playing for a former point guard for Coach Krzyzewski at Duke. He develops the entire person, not just the player. You know, if we can hang on to a Josiah Davis, who is a junior, came over, he first played for West Virginia, then Tennessee State. He is a phenomenal player. He's a junior from nearby Kitchener, Ontario. Jahari Williams, he is a guy that absolutely can shoot the basketball from Pickering, Ontario, not too far away. Zion Russell is a redshirt junior. I hope that he returns. And anybody that I'm not mentioning with eligibility, I hope they return, because you can't wait to see what, you know, 30 games and 45 games and 60 games with many of those core players are going to look like. It's going to look a lot different than the first 20 or so.
All right, Todd, we got to get going. It's going to be right to you coming up on the other side.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That's Todd Callen. For Mark Schofield, for Joe Kelly, for Evan DePasquale, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR. Niagara basketball against Quinnipiac coming up next.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.